On behalf of Bishop Kelly, Bishop Carroll, Bishop Sante, the priests, sisters, brothers, and seminarians, I would like to wish you all a most happy and blessed Easter. And the epistle is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, the fifth chapter. Brethren, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new paste, as you are unleavened. For Christ our Pasch is sacrificed. Therefore let us feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And the Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 16. At that time, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought sweet spices that coming they might anoint Jesus. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they come to the sepulchre, the sun being now risen. And they said one to another, "Who shall roll us back the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And looking, they saw the stone rolled back, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed with a white robe, and they were affrighted. Who saith to them, "Be not affrighted, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he told you." And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Go, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he told you. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Before I entered the seminary, my dear faithful, I had the privilege of visiting Rome, the Eternal City. One of the chief memories that stands out from this trip is of my visit to the Vatican Museum. The Vatican Museum is a collection of works of art and artifacts that were gathered over the past 500 years. Statues, paintings, and mosaics cover every inch of both the walls and ceilings of 5 miles of hallways, rooms, and corridors. It includes both Christian works of art as well as many works of antiquity, such as Roman, Egyptian, and Greek. One of the interesting things about the Vatican Museum is the difference between the art of ancient pagans and that of the Christians. The art of the ancient pagans contains many masterpieces, but they have an austerity and even grimness to them. For example, one of the statues I saw was a very detailed but brutal portrayal of a wolf attacking a deer. The wolf symbolizes Rome with all its power and strength, as well as its ambitious ferocity. For you see, Rome is shown conquering the deer, which symbolizes the rest of the world. This statue, which is indicative of much of the pagan art, shows not only the skill of the Romans, but also their pagan hope, their dreams for earthly glory and riches. The Romans lived for the things of this world, and their art shows this desire. Now, if we compare this to Christian art, we see that Christian art praises beauty and power, but of a different kind. One of the paintings, for example, in the Vatican Museum depicts our Lord's resurrection. Our Lord stands in front of his tomb, glorious and immortal, holding a white banner with a flaming red cross upon it. Angels soar about him as a guard of honor. And the Roman soldiers who were guarding his tomb now cower on the ground, trembling in fear. The face of our Lord is calm and serene, though. And his eyes are not even on these soldiers. Rather, they look out from the painting to the onlooker. Christ does not even look at his enemies cast down before him, nor at the angels honoring him. He has eyes only for those looking at the painting. This painting, my dear faithful, shows the Christian ideals. For our Lord's power and glory, these are nothing to him. His only care is for souls to follow him, so that he can lead them to eternal life. That is why he looks out to the viewer and nowhere else. And this, my dear faithful, this is what made the holy women rejoice on that first Easter Sunday when they went to the tomb. They were prepared to face the cold reality of the terrible and bloody death of their beloved Lord Jesus Christ. They had expected to find a cold, lifeless body covered with wounds. But instead, they found an angel. An angel standing in the tomb, clothed in brilliant white, who revealed to them that Christ, who was crucified, is now risen from the dead. He then told the holy women to announce to the apostles, "Christ goeth before you into Galilee." The angel promised then that they would meet our Lord again, alive and glorious. What that incredible news meant to them. These holy women had been our Lord's close followers and friends. They had personally witnessed his slow, brutal, agonizing death on the cross, and witnessed his body buried in that same tomb. After the initial shock and disbelief in our Lord's resurrection, how their hearts leapt with joy to hear that their beloved Lord had risen to life from the dead. And what is more, to hear that he waited for them to see them again. The resurrection, my dear faithful, should give us that same joy, because it truly means so much. First, the resurrection is the greatest proof of the truth of our faith, just as it is also the greatest proof of the divinity of our Savior. Other holy men, such as the Old Testament prophets, raised people to life by their prayers, but to raise themselves from the dead, that is unheard of, unimaginable, impossible for a human being. To raise oneself to life, that is truly a divine act. And thus, Christ proved his divinity by this miracle. And that is exactly what the apostles preached about Christ after the resurrection, that he had risen and thus is divine. Now, Christ's resurrection also teaches us our own future if we follow our Lord. For if we are his true followers, we too will rise glorious and immortal from the dead. You see, our Lord's life is a mirror of what he offers us. Our Lord offers his life as a model for us. He lived, he died, and he rose again, to teach us how we are to live and to die. Thus, the angel's words to the apostles, "Christ goeth before you," are meant for us too. For by his life, death, and resurrection, our Lord went before us and now waits for us in heaven. How much more we have to look forward to than the pagan materialists, both of the ancient and of the modern world. For just as the ancient pagans sought only the passing things of this world, so too do the pagans of today live only for the here and the now. Some think knowledge is the great good of life. They are insatiable in their quest for learning, while completely neglecting their own moral life. Others hold pleasures of sense or power over their fellow man as the great good of life. These worldlings give themselves completely to their passions, or they constantly seek honors and esteem. Whatever their particular focus, these modern pagans push the thought of death out of their minds. And when death does come upon them, they are left with despair, because all that they long for is in this world, and they are about to leave it and lose everything. The true Christian knows better, though. He looks forward to the joys of heaven and lives for that eternal bliss by a truly Christian life. The summary of this Christian life, my dear faithful, you will find in the Ten Commandments, but our Lord has simplified it even further. He gave us the two basic commandments that summarize the ten. The first and greatest commandment is, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart and with thy whole soul and with thy whole mind." Your whole self, all your mind, heart, and soul is to be given to God. And in return, God will give himself to you in heaven for all eternity. And the second great commandment proves our love for God. It is, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." If we love God, we love what he loves, and what he loves above all else is man, our fellow man, and so we too must love our fellow man. My dear faithful, imitate the life of Christ. Live for the love of God and love your neighbor for the love of this great God. In this way, you will follow the life of Christ and you will share in his resurrection. Your life now will not be grim and base as the pagans. Rather, you will have joy, like the joy of the holy women and the apostles at the risen Christ. For Christ goeth before you, and he calls to you to come to him to share in eternal bliss. May God bless you, and may you have a most happy and blessed Easter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.